Hello, everyone. I'm Marcus Robertson with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. Thank you for tuning in. Today, we'll be talking about strategies for kidney health management, and we're thrilled to be joined by Tom Gaffney and Eric Reamer. Tom is the Chief Growth Officer for HealthMap Solutions, and Eric is the CEO of HealthMap Solutions. I want to thank you both so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Marcus.
All right. Well, to kick us off, Tom, could you tell us a little about HealthMap Solutions, what you do?
Absolutely. And Marcus, thanks for the opportunity to speak with us. It's an exciting time in healthcare as it relates to kidney services. And certainly it's a very exciting time for HealthMap Solutions with our journey and the success that we've had in the last few years. But to level set, HealthMap Solutions is a kidney population health management company. We were founded in 2013 and we're headquartered in Tampa, Florida. We're currently contracted for approximately 125,000 kidney members, and that includes both chronic kidney disease, stages 3, 4, 5, and unspecified, and end-stage renal disease patients. We're currently managing about $3 billion in medical spend on behalf of our customers, and we're serving kidney members in 30 states throughout the country. What's great about our growth and our footprint is we're also able to provide these services for all lines of business. So today we are currently managing Medicare Advantage members, Medicaid members, and commercial members across the country. We were really developed as an organization to find and identify a solution for what has been a continued challenge as it relates to the kidney industry, and specifically those patients that have been identified and diagnosed with either chronic kidney disease or they've progressed into end-stage renal disease. With our service, we've gone to the point and opportunity to, shift the paradigm of what the focus of kidney disease should be. And historically, whereas if people were speaking about concerns around their kidney population, it was always tied to the end-stage renal disease patient. And frankly, it was directly talking to and impacting the costs associated with that service. However, as we have come to learn and where HealthMap has made its mark in the industry, we have gone ahead and we've looked at management of ESRD patients as table stakes. And what we do is we now as an organization put just as much, if not more, focus on moving upstream for early identification of patients with CKD, primarily those earlier stages such as stage 3 and 4. With that said, the company has continued to grown, and our growth has really been fueled by the needs of our customers. And when we talk about customers, we're talking about health plans, health systems, accountable care organizations or ACOs, and other at-risk provider groups. And it's our program that we deliver to those organizations and help to drive success both from a clinical perspective and a financial perspective.
Tom, as luck has it, I've actually spoken with quite a few leaders in kidney care recently, and one common refrain is that kidney disease is incredibly complex, go figure, especially once you're dealing with those later stages you mentioned. But Eric, I understand HealthMap's kidney health management program has an interesting strategy there. Can you walk us through it?
Yeah, so I think first you have to start with why is it complex? It's complex because the members are typically asymptomatic. Until they get to the point where kidney has failed, a lot of these members aren't even aware of the kidney disease. They've got comorbidities, they've got diabetes, they've got hypertension, many have GI issues, et cetera. And so it's not necessarily been their priority to manage the underlying kidney disease. The other reason why it's very complex is you often have four different doctors involved. You've got the primary care physician, an endocrinologist, a cardiologist, a nephrologist, and on it goes. And so there really is oftentimes duplication of meds. There's, like any time that there's so much divided responsibility, sometimes things fall through the cracks and then sometimes things are done more than once. And both of those can be quite traumatic for the member. The physician intervention, though, is so required. There's been other spaces, diabetes, for example, where a lot of what folks do in that space is really get in touch and engage the members. Here, you need to engage the members, but you absolutely have to engage the providers. One, because there are so many involved. Two, because a lot of what we're doing really change is about changing the care that these folks are getting. It's not just patient behavior and adherence to plan. It's also changing some of the actual plans that the providers have set up for these folks. And so when I think about our model, we have to be provider-centric. So we do the member engagement, absolutely, but we really want to engage the providers. And we get the providers to pledge to come into our program to work with us to get these folks better care. And by doing that, that provider is essentially sponsoring the program, endorsing the program for the member, which leads to very high engagement rates. We have folks in our industry that will talk about 15 to 25% engagement rates. We can impact close to 70, 80% in some cases of the members because the providers are opting in, and we're working through both the providers and direct to the members to actually change the course and the trajectory of these folks and get them better outcomes. By working directly with those providers, we have a broad network approach, as opposed to saying we've got a really tight partnership with 10% of the nephrologists in a market or 15% of the endocrinologists in the market. We really look at the market and say, we need these folks to see more doctors more frequently on a proactive basis. We don't want to exclude providers that are doing good work. So we have a broad network philosophy, and we want to really make sure that that's done. And we find a lot of folks in our space are approaching it more through a narrow network approach that we find is both much more disruptive to the member who is potentially seeing a cardiologist or an endocrinologist and doesn't want to shift. It's much more disruptive to a provider who's used to referring into certain doctors. And it's also much more disruptive to the plans, who then have to explain to their providers why they're kind of steering members away from them. So the other thing that we do that's a little different is, if you really are going to capture folks from early stage to late stage, they're all at different risk profiles. They all need different things. Some folks need a medication reminder. Some folks need someone to come into their home. And titration of the intervention that we deliver is so important to make sure that we're meeting the member where they need to be, that we're giving them what they need to do. And we have the full range. We have digital interventions. We have nurses and clinicians and dietitians that will work with folks on video or on phone. And we also can send folks into the home. And it's so incredibly important to have that full range. And I'd also say that, you know, you find that by having this more proactive approach, you really can make a difference on the full eligible population and reduce admissions on 20 to 30% of the members. So we are making sure people take their meds, do their labs more often, see their docs more often. And so we're spending a little more in those categories, but we're really saving a tremendous amount of money is avoiding admissions.
Eric, I'd like to follow up here. Some of those numbers are really stunning, first off, but I understand that HealthMap's approach in the market is a little different than your competitors in some aspects. Can you speak to your focused role on the earlier stage CKD patients, stage three, stage four?
Absolutely. So first, why are we so focused on them? 84% of the population CKD three to ESRD is stage three. And a lot of folks just assume they're not expensive. That's not where the dollars are. But those stage threes, those 84% that are stage threes, account for 68% of the total spend. The 6% that are ESRD, that Tom said, historically have been the focus, they're about 21% of the spend. So a lot more spend in the stage threes. If you look at the whole population, 70% of the spend is in facility costs. 9% is in dialysis costs. And yet you see that two-thirds of the folks who are using having an inpatient stay in a given year are the threes. So that's why we go after the threes. Everything in healthcare, the earlier you can intervene, like cancer, you identify it, if you treat early, the chances of success are so much greater. That's why we go after the threes. To do that well, it's very interesting. Only 20% of the stage threes are seeing a nephrologist, and only 50% of stage fours are seeing a nephrologist. So you really need a different approach to the threes and the fours than you do the fives and the ESRDs, where you can really focus on working with the nephrologist and the member. Here, you've got to be able to have a much larger footprint to touch base with the PCPs, the endocrinologist, the cardiologist, and coordinate all that care. So what we do, we have that provider and member really looking at care gaps and ranking which are the most important in the entire population to close from both an outcomes perspective and from a cost perspective. What are the things that if we could do one more thing, what's the number one thing we should be doing to help this population? And that's what we do first. And we work with our team of clinicians to close those gaps. Again, we need the PCP, the nephrologist, and the endocrinologist and cardiologist touch points. And you really need systems to enable all this to do this well at scale. You need to have the predictive models to say who are those folks that are going to be admitted. And then you need to be able to work with doctors in their natural workflow so that you're not disruptive to their natural practice.
What I'm hearing, HealthMap looks to be placing itself kind of at the junction between the patient, provider, and the payer. We've heard a bit on this already, but Tom, how do you make sure you're supporting each of those stakeholders throughout the process?
Yeah, great question, Marcus. And that's true. HealthMap is playing a critical role amongst the key stakeholders, many of which Eric's just spoken about as relates to the provider and the member. But let me talk a little bit about our program and how we're able to deliver on some of the value levers that are helpful and supportive for all constituents, whether it's the payer, the provider, or the patients. Through our proprietary IT-enabled technology platform and our clinical acumen, we improve clinical and financial outcomes, as I've shared before, and that financial and clinical outcome improvement is not just important to the payers, your traditional payers, which are your health plans, or some of those non-traditional, which now are the health systems, ACOs, and at-risk provider groups, especially those with a value-based care approach. With that, what we have the opportunity to do is leverage all that great work that Eric mentioned with our clinical teams and how we interact with the providers. And we do that through six key value levers, as we call them. The first would be early identification. Again, for a successful end-to-end solution, we need to make sure that we are moving upstream to identify patients early in the process, because the earlier we can engage with them, obviously, the earlier we can start to support, educate, and manage. The next one is patient engagement. With any chronic disease program, whether it's a disease management program in the marketplace or a population health management company, the success of those programs and vendors like HealthMap will only be initiated by having a successful strategy for patient engagement. Today, we spend a lot of time and energy and focus in making sure that we are working with the providers, as Eric mentioned, and connecting with the members to ensure that we can engage as many of these patients as possible. Because think about it, all of the interventions and care gap management that we're going to do, all of the referrals to the nephrologist when appropriate, none of that can happen unless we have successful engagement. And we've established relationships to be able to pick up the phone and call a physician practice or a patient. And most importantly, created that relationship so they can pick up the phone and they'll talk to us. The next one is slowing disease progression. Certainly through the use of successful clinical management and early identification, to be able to help avoid or delay patients' progression with kidney disease is extremely important. So HealthMap, again, and our clinical model allows us to go ahead and have a really detailed and targeted approach to some of those early interventions that are going to be critical to continue to delay that progression. We talk about planned dialysis starts. So a big conversation today, as you know, Marcus, as you've been out in the marketplace talking about kidney disease, is certainly the importance of making sure that there's a very effective planned dialysis start in place. And what that allows us to do is make sure that, you know, one of the key problems in the industry today is that a large percentage of patients that are on dialysis have actually crashed to dialysis. And Eric had mentioned a little bit about the impact of patients and costs associated with them. If somebody crashes to dialysis, we tend to see a cost of about $35,000 per patient per that crash. Whereas if we can plan effectively, bring them carefully into the process to make the right decisions for dialysis therapy when appropriate, we tend to see that cost somewhere in the neighborhood of $5,000. So a lot of good activity to drive good results, both from a financial perspective, from a clinical perspective, and quality of life for the member. The next one, and it's kind of in conjunction with the planned dialysis starts, is optimizing renal replacement therapy. And when we talk about optimizing renal replacement therapy, we're specifically looking at how do we obtain effective venous access for those patients that are going to need dialysis, whether that dialysis is in-center or in-home. Additionally, we spend a lot of time speaking with our provider groups, primarily those nephrologists and their patients, and being able to educate them and support them with making the right decision for the use of in-home dialysis as a first-line modality when appropriate. Or even more important is, you know, the only way you truly have the opportunity to cure a patient with kidney disease is through transplant. And as we all know, there are challenges with having transplant patients available, but we work very closely with our constituents to put the best program in place. So when there is opportunity for transplant, we capitalize it. And then frankly, everything we do with our program is done with the expectation that we're trying to avoid unexpected admissions or readmissions or emergency visits for our patients. So by being able to work with them very closely, understand what a typical management model might look like for someone that is in CKD stage 4, and making sure that we're following industry accepted and evidence-based guidelines. By doing that effectively and having those key relationships with the providers and educating providers and patients, we're able to go ahead and reduce those high cost, acute settings.
Eric, from my perspective, value-based care is continuing to build momentum, but if you'd like to take us home, what's the future look like for HealthMap? If we come back in, 5 years, what are we going to be talking about here?
Yeah, well, we're really excited about the kidney space. And one of the reasons we're really excited is it's underpenetrated. There are less than 10% of members in the United States managed in a program like ours. And so there's a lot of room for growth in kidney. I also think we're going to roll out more product enhancements on our roadmap, and those things are going to specifically drive better outcomes and savings. They're going to be linked with a lot of other offerings that the health plan already has, and we're going to leverage some of those things to get even better results across the population. I think we'll start taking more capitation aggressively. We have a lot of data points that says that we can provide better outcomes and savings, and so we're willing to take full risk on that. I think there'll be an increased emphasis on stars and HEDIS, as well as the cost savings. And then I would say, we built our model, as both Tom and I have said, we manage comorbidities already. We are already managing diabetes and hypertension and lots of different issues that these folks face. And we are in a great position to get into some of those other areas. Because we're working with so many PCPs across the country, since PCPs are that first line of defense, we absolutely expect that we will begin to have programs in other areas. And I think you'll see that coming over the next 5 years in a big way from HealthMap.
Exciting. Managing some of these other conditions and comorbidities, big things. Well, Tom, Eric, I want to thank you both for your time and the thought-provoking responses here today. We also want to thank our podcast sponsor, HealthMap Solutions. For our audience, you can tune into more podcasts from Becker's Healthcare by visiting our podcast page at beckershospitalreview.com /podcasts.